Siyata Dishmaya, I'd like to talk about a message that I think is relevant about going back to the States. So we'll talk about what they're laning in the States. We'll talk about Parshas Baaloscha as opposed to Parshas Shlach. And I think that there are some very powerful messages that are relevant to looking at the summer through the prism specifically of Parshas Baaloscha. Rav David Shlita has a beautiful sefer, Darosh Tarash Yosef, where there is an absolutely seminal piece. In fact, the piece is so seminal in the Hakdama from Rav Soloveitchik. It's so seminal that Rabbi Ganak, in his Hakdama to the Rosh Yeshiva sefer, writes that what we're about to say over from Rav Soloveitchik was his favorite, what Rav Yitzchak Tursi Zatzal said was Rav Soloveitchik's favorite drasha that he ever gave. That's what's written in the Rosh Yeshiva, in the Hakdama, the Rosh Yeshiva Sefer. Something very, very strange happens in Parshas Baaloscha. In Parshas Baaloscha, Moshe Rabbeinu does something that he's never done before. And that is, he gives up. Not only does Moshe Rabbeinu give up, Moshe Rabbeinu says, literally, God, kill me. Now, this is the same leader of Klal Yisrael that fought on behalf of Klal Yisrael tooth and nail when, short while after they had received the Torah, they went to Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu fights, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, your descendants are going to be the future Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu fights on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And in this week's parasha, when they begin to complain a little, then all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu gives up and he says, kill me. Sarachiyu number one. What's going on? There is also one of the most unique parts of the entire Sefer Torah, which unique halachos come out of, are the inverted nuns of Parshas Baaloscha. Parshas Baaloscha, we have the Parsha of Vayihi ben Soya Ora in Vayomer Moshe, Uvenucha Yoimar, of course the Parshas that we say when we put the Torah back and we take it out, and they stand by themselves, and you have these nun hafuchos. Chazal learn that the status of a Sefer Kodesh is the amount of words in Vayihi ben Soya Ora. And really, of course, we really have seven books of Torah and not five books of Torah, because Vayihi ben Soya Ora is a separate parsha. But what is that separate parsha? All the separate parsha says, and the Aron traveled and the Aron came back. That's not a description. Some you would have expected that there'd be something in between. What exactly is that Vayihi ben Soya and Uvenucha Yomer? What happened in the interim? Why isn't that part of the parsha? And from there we learn 85 words, 85 letters is a parsha. And why the inverted nuns? If you want to set off a parsha, there are many ways to set off a parsha. There are different ways to write stumos and psuchos. Why is it set off by these two nuns? So we have b'siyata d'shmaya three questions. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu give up? Number two, what type of parsha is Vayihi ben Soya and Uvenucha Yoimar? And finally, what do the inverted nuns represent? So our special Rosh Yeshiva quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. Once you hear this is classic brisk. Once you hear this pshat, you realize that there's so much more in the parsha than we saw before. It takes great people to reveal this. And that is that the whole Torah, let's just focus on 1.5 Sfarim, but really the whole Torah itself, the end of Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, up until those two nuns are what Rav Soloveitchik described as the triumphant march of Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan is built. Then, after Klal Yisrael has received the Torah and internalized the Torah, we begin Sefer Bamidbar, description of all the encampments. And here there are flags that are added now that you could have Klal Yisrael surrounded by the Torah. And the beginning of the parshios of Parshas Bamidbar are all describing the Levium's role in the Mishkan, how we're going to march, when we're going to march, what's going to be blown. in those eloquent words of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, the triumphant march of Klal Yisrael is ready, about to come into Eretz Yisrael. And the Ravi went as far as to say, according to the Rosh Yeshiva, went as far as to say that Mashiach was ready to come. And then we have the inverted nuns. The entire trajectory of the Jewish people changes. Vayihi ben Tzai Aharon is about to introduce coming into Eretz Yisrael and all the glory. Everything from the beginning of Shemos to Vayikra to through Bamidbar is about to hit the pinnacle. And if you think about it, what's going to happen in future weeks? Everything is going to be downhill. It's going to be all Gehenim after this. And that way we're going to have the Meraglim and then Korach v'chule v'chule. The triumphant march becomes a tragedy because of one thing. And that is Klal Yisrael gets stuck in hedonism. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if Klal Yisrael gets confused, they make awful theological mistakes. Awful theological mistakes, and they confuse God with a golden calf. I will fight for them. If they make awful mistakes and they fall prey to an impulse, a sexual impulse that's not correct, I will fight for them. But the moment in which all they want is hedonism, all they want is more gashmias, they can't get their minds out of the gashmias, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's nothing more to talk about. And the triumphant march fails because Klal Yisrael can't pull themselves out of their steak. They can't pull themselves out of their fancy cars. And everything else becomes part of the tragic component of Jewish history. Rav Moshe Nechemia Shlita, I once overheard him say so beautifully. He said, if someone bites into an onion, if they have the taste of an onion inside of their mouth, so then in such a case, everything else that they're going to eat afterwards is not going to have a good taste. If Klal Yisrael has habosar oidenu ben shineihem, if the onion is still stuck in there between their teeth, if the hedonism is still stuck between the teeth, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have absolutely nothing to do with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kill me. The game is lost. What does it have to do with going back to the United States of America? Everything. And that is, Rabosai, you've been given Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu Vivdilanu Minatoyim V'nasalonu Teres Emes. Some of you have grown so beautifully in your skills. I'm looking at the two Rabbeim sitting over here who've given you in such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful ways. And you've gotten so much from your Rabbeim. But at the end of the day, if Chas V'Chalila, we can't find a way to go back to a place where the value system is full of hedonism, then there's no way that all the Torah could maintain us and could guide us if we don't think about how we're going to approach that. We learned last week, Rav Gershon Edelstein Zatzal taught us that the way in which most of us will fight the world of Gashmias is not the way Rav Steinman Zatzal did. We're not going to negate all of it. But what we're going to do is we're going to find a way to use those material realities and find a way to use it in a productive way in Avodas Hashem. So you don't have Tropicana orange juice here in Eretz Yisrael. The Tropicana now becomes an integral part of your morning, but it becomes part of the first thing you do in the morning, whether you're doing Shnayim Mikra and so on. In other words, rethink all of those parts of your life. What are those things that are excessive? And what parts of your life that are not excessive, that are okay, but how am I going to fuse it in a new way? How am I going to take that in a way that's amiti? Don't negate the gashmias, but think through as much as we can, b'siyata d'shmaya, to use it right. So now let's go back to the questions. Moshe Rabbeinu gives up now, because Moshe Rabbeinu says, if there's going to be hedonism, there's nothing more to talk about. what type of parsha is Vayhi ben Saya Aaron and Uvnucha Yomar? Well, really, Vayhi ben Saya Aaron was about to start the last part of the triumphant march. Vayhi ben Saya Aaron, Aaron traveled, and then we were supposed to have the whole story of Klal Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael at that moment, as Rashi describes in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, and it was going to conclude with Uvnucha Yomar. But in the end, maybe we could add to Rav Soloveitchik, Nun does not appear in Tehillah LeDavid and Ashrei Yoshvei Vasecha. Why? Chazal say because Nun stands for Nefilah. There was a Nefilah. The Nun describes a Nefilah. Nafla lo sosif. Baruch Hashem, we read the Navi, Nafla lo sosif. Kum besulas Yisrael, not Nafla lo sosif. Kum. That Klal Yisrael will never give up, get up, but Klal Yisrael falls down. And then, therefore, the parsha is Vayhi ben Saya Uvnucha Yomar. And the takeaway, number one, our first takeaway for tonight, is to make sure that our parsha is not Vayhi ben Saya and then Uvnucha. That our parsha is, especially for those who are leaving after their first year, Vayhi ben Saya, that you're going to take everything from yeshiva, and then there's going to be a glorious parsha through the summer. It's not going to be the exact same thing as Eretz Yisrael, but a glorious parsha, and then they'll come back to Uvnucha Yomar. This will all be part of the Torah. This will all be part of that parsha. But how does it become a glorious part? One eitzah that we gave is in terms of the Gashmias, but there's another one more piece. There's something that Rav pointed out also that Moshe Rabbeinu does that he never did before. Moshe Rabbeinu, we refer to as Moshe Rabbeinu, the great teacher, the greatest Navi in the history of Klal Yisrael. But to paraphrase Rav Soloveitchik, in this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu describes himself as a different way. It ends with Nu, like Rabbeinu, but instead of the Reish Beis, what do we put in its place? He becomes Moshe Imenu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ha'anoichi harisi, kasha yisa ha'uman es hayoinek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I see I have to change my modality entirely. My modality is no longer going to be one of a Rebbe, but the only way we could pull Klal Yisrael out is he going to become our mother. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu becomes. We refer to him as Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu could only deal, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu convinces him that he shouldn't kill him, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that the only way that Klal Yisrael could pull themselves out in this state is if he also becomes their mother. The Omek HaDavar is the difference between the father and the mother, is that the mother is what provides the life sustenance, the gashmius for the child. It's the mother's milk. The only way to combat the gashmius is gashmius that's combined with ruchnius. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu now has to show Klal Yisrael that he could provide for them as a mother, not just as a father. This is advancing what Rav Soloveitchik said. And that means that you have to create an environment for yourself where you have not only Moshe Rabbeinu, but also Moshe Imenu. A situation where not only are you receiving Torah in an intellectual way, but you're getting your sustenance, you're being sustained like a child from its mother's milk. The same source that's giving the intellectual Torah also now has to be providing that sense of security and warmth and protection and simply sustain the child. There are many ways to take this idea, but I have a particular idea in mind that I want you to think about. So many of the Talmidim that I was speaking to, and by the way, this applies not only to Talmidim and Torah Shraga, it even applies to Avrichim and the Grus Kolel, are going to be going back, and they're going to have, in my opinion, one of the most important opportunities in the world of Chinuch to be Mashpia on the next generation. In my opinion, today, the most important Mechanchim in the world don't have the name Rabbi before their names. The most important mechanchim in the world are the counselors, counselorettes, the men and women out there that serve as role models to those young men and young women who are a little bit younger than them, one of the biggest secrets in the chinuch of Klal Yisrael today is camp. Because that's where a kid's guard is entirely down. That's where children could have the opportunity to truly be mushpat. And Rabosai, it's not just simply about the guys from Shana Aleph, from Nativ Aryeh, trying to convince them to go to Nativ, and the guys from Torah Shraga, Shana Aleph, convince them to go to Torah Shraga in 2 years from now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not interested in what yeshiva it is. At the end of the day, what we're talking about is really, really profound, profound role models that could have such a fantastic impact. A counselor who lives that idea that he's Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Imenu. A counselor that's there for the child, and most important in a generation today where so many children are unintentionally abused in the sense that they're not given the appropriate emotional warmth and care by the environment that they're surrounded by, both in school and unfortunately even at times at home. A counselor can make or break a child's life. So when you go back, you're going to have the opportunity to, in a place that's full of hedonism, to be able to provide that role of being someone that's kemat like a mother. And that hashpah is absolutely fantastic. And I can't overemphasize how important this opportunity is in the Bechina of Vayihi ben Tzaya and then coming back in Uvnucha Yomer. It's impossible to overstate how important this is. I want to bring it out actually in my own personal way. I'll share with you something that's absolutely fascinating. I look back in my own trajectory as being a Rebbe. Now, at age 48, you might not recognize what I was when I was age 15 or 16. When I was 15 or 16 years old, I never dreamed that I would become a Rebbe. My parents did not encourage me to become a Rebbe. They loved Torah, they respected Torah, but definitely the culture in the house was not to become Klei Kodesh. And I was a regular 15-year-old. And I was discussing with my friends, what are we going to do in July? When I was 15 years old, there was a tremendous influx of Russian Jews coming to the United States, and particularly in the tri-state area. And there was a camp that had opened. I was going to go away, have fun in August. My mother did not want us to go away for 2 months, only for 1 month. And one of my friends suggested, why don't we go where these Russian kids are? Some of you might know there is a fellow who works in NYU with the Chevra, learns with them, a very fantastic special Rav. His name is Rabbi Friedman. Rabbi Friedman's married to a woman whose maiden name was London. Her father was, and her uncle were these fantastic Mekarvim, and they had opened this camp. She was running this camp of hundreds and hundreds of Russian kids at age 19. She was running the whole camp single-handedly. And she got a few boys in yeshiva at age 15, 16 to be the counselors. The first day, she said, there's going to be learning groups for these boys who don't know anything. They didn't even know Aleph Beis. She said, there's going to be learning groups for these boys at 10, 11 o'clock. So at 11 o'clock, I went over to her and I said to her, who's teaching the boys? She looked at me and said, you are. I'm not a Rebbe. You are. And to this day, I remember those boys in that group. I remember the joy of learning Aleph Beis with them. And that's something that I think might have changed my life in terms of what I realized that I wanted to do. In some ways, as I get older, teaching older smicha fellows, as opposed to teaching younger fellows, there's a part of that that I feel that I'm not entirely doing. The more and more we begin to reach an older age and a more advanced age, the less and less sometimes we are mashpia in the imenu part, the Moshe imenu part. So Rabosai, don't underestimate the tremendous, tremendous koach you have, because the great Magide Shiurim in the United States of America, if they're surrounded by an environment where there's so much onion, there's so much hedonism, the Torah is not going to work. what Klal Yisrael needs is more and more Moshe Rabbeinus, who are also Moshe Imenus. Klal Yisrael needs more and more people who are devoted to the children of Klal Yisrael, particularly in Chutz La'aretz, but in here in Eretz Yisrael as well. And that means that those of you who are on your way, but B'siyata D'Shemaya coming back, you should know that you have two tafkidim. Your first tafkid is to make sure that you don't bite too strong into that onion, to make sure that those bites that are being mitzaref, the gashmias with the ruchnias. Don't negate the gashmias, but find a way to connect it to Avodas Hashem. And the second thing, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us in this week's parsha, that in a place where the gashmias is so great, we have a tremendous responsibility not only to be fathers of Torah, but to be mothers of Torah. And as a counselor, B'siyata D'Shemaya, you'll have that opportunity. And if you devote yourself to that opportunity, it might very, very well change your life. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us all siyata D'Shemaya to be able to transmit the Torah to the next generation, a generation that's not easy, but with the guides that we have from our great Rabbein, in opening up this parsha, entirely new way of looking at parshas Pa'aloscha, B'siyata D'Shemaya, we should have siyata D'Shemaya, and looking forward to growing together, B'siyat D'Shemaya, next Elul, Baritzeinu HaKadosh. Thank you for all your help.